There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This week, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to take a break from looking at all the businesses and corporations that we've been going through. Don't worry, we'll get back to it. But I wanted to mix things up again. It's not an essay type of episode. This one is another one of those opportunities to poll the community and see what people think out there and then comment on it. So we're going to find out the answer to the question, who is the worst villain in Fallout according to the community? And I had a whole bunch of people respond on our Patreon and on our Discord server. And if you're not part of that community, it's such a wonderful community. You can sign up for free on Patreon. You can join us, of course, for free on the Discord server. There are links in the description. So thanks to all of you for chiming in, and I'll be going over each of these answers, maybe playing devil's advocate a little bit in order to balance out the conversation. But here, let's get into it. Who is the worst villain in Fallout? So I'll be going through these in alphabetical order through all the different answers, and some of these answers are the same. Some people gave the same answer with similar or different reasons for doing so. So let's start at the top. And please keep in mind, some of these answers are a little bit more serious than others. Some of them are a little more comedic. Some are more creative. And this one is, I think, on the more creative side. According to Clara, Clara says, the atom bomb in Megaton. And Clara has a reason here. Because it was easy to blow up before you really start the main story and caused a younger me to be completely lost, not knowing how to move forward in the game. Just an inanimate object or a villain that tanks newbie chaos gremlins? This, I totally get the justification here. This is more of a meta villain than a in-world villain. Yes, the atom bomb, if you blow it up in Megaton, kills a bunch of people, changes the game forever in ways that are, you can't go back unless you reload a save or start a new game. So I totally get that. From a new player perspective, that was kind of astonishing that you could do that. You could also just nuke the town if you side with Tenpenny. There was a lot about that I found very striking at the time. And it's something that Bethesda has moved away from in more recent games. This idea of locking you out of content by a decision that you make. And I think, in my opinion, they've gone too far. They've pushed that a bit too far. And I think that makes the world feel more lived in. But I also understand the perspective of, hey, I'm a new gamer, I don't really understand what's going on here, and now I just completely nuked the first settlement that I went to. Where do I go from here? So I totally understand that perspective as well. All right, let's move on. The next answer is simply capitalism. And remember, we're going through alphabetically. Blinding Vision says capitalism doesn't give a reason, but I think we probably all understand the reasoning behind capitalism being the worst villain in Fallout. I mean, if you think about the events that led to the end of the world, the bombs dropping, the Great War, all of that, so much of that was due to capitalism running amok. And capitalism can be a very good thing. It helps provide a lot of the things that we have. It's the cornerstone to Western society and this idea that you can work at a job, you can build a business, you can have money to afford the nice things that you want to have. And in the best version of a capitalist system, there's opportunity. You can work your way up the ladder. You don't have to worry about being stuck in one place from a social perspective and from a financial perspective. But in the worst version of capitalism, all the money ends up at the top and everyone at the bottom doesn't have anything. And that just leads to more greed. I think we're seeing a lot of this in our own world. The people at the top who have billions of dollars just want more. There's a constant competition between all of them to see who comes out on top compared to each other. And it sucks all the, well, the oxygen out of the room or the finances out of the, I don't know, bank accounts of people further down. So in the world of Fallout, this plays out in a very significant way. And we'll talk about it a little bit more with Vault Tech. But if you've been listening to this show, you know, the Fallout games, although Tim Kaine said that they weren't specifically designed around the idea that capitalism was bad, they have a lot of examples of places where capitalism goes too far. Let's put it that way. So, Blinding, totally get your justification there, even though you didn't leave one. All right, let's move on to the next one. This one's interesting and a little bit more creative of an answer. The Courier from New Vegas. This is from Germinator, who you might recognize. You might recognize Blinding Vision as well. Some of these names are going to come up. Some of them are patrons that show up on the patron chats. But Germinator says here, as a Legion-aligned nitwit, he single-handedly seals the fate of a large swath of the wasteland to slavery. And this is due to specific decisions that you can make as the Courier in New Vegas to align yourself with the Legion. And if you do align yourself with the Legion, then things play out in a not so great way for the Wasteland because, well, they are, let's just say terrible and want to enslave large groups of people. And slavery, I think we can all agree, not so good. But I'll push back on this a little bit. Your decisions are what makes the Carrier decide to do what they're going to do. So if you decide to side with the Legion, then that's on you. That's not on the Courier. The Courier in the game, if you don't control the controller or the keyboard and mouse, doesn't do anything. That's on you. So in a roundabout way, what Germinator is saying is the worst villain in Fallout is the player. Let that sink in. All right, let's move on to the next one. This one's interesting. This is from Rick Retro, who writes, Daniel Hornwright. Now, you might not be as familiar with Daniel Hornwright as some of these other names. So let's get into it. This is what Rick Retro says. While he innovated in mining technology, his push to take over land and forcefully lay off his entire mining force really put a bad taste in my mouth. Additionally, if anyone listens to the holotapes, you can find one in the Charleston Herald. In this, you listen to a journalist who was investigating what I would assume was the Rockhound. At the end of the recording, the journalist is killed by Hornwright security, which is just kind of an addition to the inhumane nature. All in all, while I'm sure there are more evil villains, I felt like trying to go for something a bit more unique. Daniel Hornwright is mentioned in Fallout 76. He's behind the mining stuff that I mentioned actually in the last episode, I believe, talking about some of the different companies and businesses in Fallout. And just as a brief reminder, the mining corporations and businesses that were working in Appalachia did a lot of terrible things. They abused their workforce and then replaced their workforce and basically treated them no better than, well, indentured servants. So I think we're seeing a pattern here. Villains who abuse people, take advantage of them, enslave them, are pretty terrible. So I'll agree with you there, Rick Retro. All right, next up, this is probably one of the big ones. In my opinion, this may be worse than any of the others that we've covered so far. Dr. Stanislaus Braun. Braun was listed by three different individuals: B-Free, Azin Omega, A-Z-N Omega, and Aldride. Aldride? Eldride? That's it, Eldride. Names are hard. But here, let's go into it. This is what B-Free says. He ran that super creepy VR nightmare thing in Vault 112 in Fallout 3. I think I also read somewhere that he came up with some of the weird Vault Tech experiments, but I could be wrong on that one. Here's what Azin Omega says. He used VR to basically rule over Vault 112 as a god and took joy in torturing them. It is satisfying to activate the failsafe, dooming him to his self-made hell while the rest of the dwellers of 112 are put out of their misery. I remember doing just that very thing and feeling kind of satisfied with it, even though it was terrible. It felt like he deserved it. But if you can't choose someone similar, then Agricultural Secretary Acting President Eckhart. He tried to fool DEFCON into thinking there is still a threat, and when he managed to succeed, he continued to nuke the place. He also released the Super Mutants, Liberators, and the Scorch Beast onto Appalachia to get the level of DEFCON to one. So, kind of a double answer there, but I think you're right. Both of those are terrible and a good justification. Let's talk a little bit more about Braun, though. Eldride writes, he tortured people in the simulation just for fun. So the theme there is clearly torturing people in a simulation for his own enjoyment. And that is clearly sadistic. And for those individuals, that was hell. They were living in hell and they could not escape. That is very clearly a terrible thing to do. But here, let's talk a little bit more about Braun himself. So we most remember him from Vault 112 because we actually get to interact with him in Fallout 3. But he was behind the scenes with Vault Tech in a much more sinister way. And I believe I've covered this on previous episodes. He was the idea man behind so much of what Vault Tech did in regards to the experiments. His ideas for testing out these terrible, terrible scenarios on people who didn't know any better across so many of the vaults came directly from his mind. He was one of the people who was in charge of really setting Vault Tech's purpose. He may not have been one of the guys at the table deciding how to, you know, work with the secret American government, the enclave behind the scenes, that sort of thing, so much as he was the guy who was really focused on how to test out different scenarios in the vaults that could lead to surviving travel to the stars. That was Vault Tech's idea, was, hey, if the world can't be saved, then let's leave the planet. And in order to survive that, we need to test out a bunch of scenarios on a bunch of people who don't know they're being tested on, because that's how scientific studies are done. Not that they're done testing on people necessarily. Most tests do things on animals, kind of moving up the chain in order to get to people. But he jumped over that step. That was a major problem. But in order to have actual verifiable evidence, you have to have a reduction of variables. You have to reduce the variables down to one thing that you're testing at a time. And on top of that, when engaging with human beings, you have to make sure that the human beings are not aware of the test, because that will, well, falsify the data. If people know what they're being tested on, it's the reason why when people do drug tests in our own world, there is a group that is given the actual drug, there's another group that's given a placebo, and nobody knows which thing they're getting. So the results can be more accurate. Well, he was doing just that with human beings who didn't sign up for it, at least not according to all the details. They didn't know all the details. They thought they were just going to a vault to be safe. And then he was doing these terrible experiments on them. And we learn in Vault 12 that not only was he doing this for the reasons of, well, going to the stars, but he had a sadistic interest in knowing that these people were suffering, which totally affects the credibility of the reason why he would have been doing it in the first place. So I am absolutely on board. Stanislaus Braun is one of the absolute worst villains in Fallout. All right, on to the next one. Darrow writes, The Enclave. Darrow says, all they fight for is the reformation of the totalitarian USA. And I would add to that, well, the Enclave was behind a lot of things. We see them in the Fallout games doing terrible things, using, well, misinformation, aggressive militarization, super mutants, all sorts of methods in order to enact their goal. In Fallout 3, they try to kill anybody who isn't one of them or is exposed to FEV simply by being out in the wasteland. They are pretty sinister when you think about the post-war version of the Enclave. But also, you have to remember that they were involved and behind the government in the United States before the bombs dropped. They were the shadow government. They were the politicians and corporate business people behind the scenes pulling the strings. They were connected to Vault-Tec. They are just as bad as any of the Vault-Tec individuals like Stanislaus Braun because they were enabling these terrible things. So kind of a double whammy there. So I agree, Darrow. Absolutely terrible. The Enclave, not a good organization. And I know there are a lot of Enclave fans out there because, well, they've got cool outfits and they, you know, seem powerful and that, you know, those kinds of things. But you have to remember, they are fascist, period. So not so good. All right, on to the next one. Oberon77 says, Fallout One's overseer, Jakarin, I never know how to pronounce his name, because he kicked you out just because you helped him in the vault, just out of spite, is more evil than Kaiser since he has a goal. I think what he's saying here is Kaiser has, I always want to read it Caesar, but it's Kaiser pronounced in the game. Kaiser has a goal beyond just spitefully kicking you out. And the fact that that is kind of such a petty thing to do makes him evil. I think you can also add the idea that he was an overseer of a vault, and although the vault was not one of the more sinister vaults, he was still just kind of going along with the instructions and the things that he needed to do without actually analyzing why or deciding if that was the best decision, which leads to decisions like kicking out you. After you've gone through so much and you've saved the vault, but you've been exposed to the outside world and radiation and FEV or just happened to know too much. That sucks. Now, is he as bad as somebody like Stanislaus Braun or the Enclave as an entire organization? No, I don't think he's as bad as those, but it's definitely sucky. Let's just call it that. Let's just use that word, sucky. It sucks. All right, next on the list, Lyrics Mode says, Father, he's a dumb the master. Allow me to explain. He turns your very existence into an experiment because reasons? He knew you were alive and struggling, yet watched you work your way to him. He infiltrates and has since replaced settlers in cities, towns, and all over the Commonwealth and beyond, yet claims not to care about up top land, unleashes super mutants on the Commonwealth, wipes out entire settlements, wiped out the attempt at the Commonwealth provisional government, immediately attempted nepotism and to instill you as a successor rather than follow chain of command or anything else when he was ill. Guilt trips you with a synth Sean if you don't side with him. As far as major characters go, it's him. Yeah, he does some pretty terrible stuff. I will agree. I've contemplated that Father is absolutely one of the worst villains in the series. I think you can also say that he has similarities between him and some of these other villains because he justifies what he's doing as for the right reasons, like so many well-written villains do. They think they're the good guy. They think that the ends justify the means. And yet the means are so terrible that is it really worth it to get to the ends? It's the Batman dilemma, right? You know that if you kill the Joker, you're going to save a lot of lives, but that means you stoop to the level of killing in order to achieve your goal. At some point, you need to draw the line so that you don't become the villain in order to do something that seems good, right? Like, there's a balance there. So yeah, Father, pretty crappy. I agree.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
All right, next up, we've got two votes for house. Pluto Mayhem and I'm going to leave that in. That's funny. Follower of the Apocalypse. I'm sorry I called you Father. I didn't mean to. Pluto says he was one of the biggest investors in Vault Tech, and profiting off the end of the world is such a capitalist thing to do. Yeah, that's pretty terrible. Follower of the Apocalypse says he convinces people to hand over their freedom for being comfortable, but it's a gilded cage. You cannot question him or you get expulsed from New Vegas. Freedom itself became the final bill handed to Wastelanders by the old world. To quote the stupendium about House in the song The House Always Wins, that freedom you so wanted, now the cost of living comfortably. Yeah, I think that that is a really solid point. This idea that you are forcing others to live according to your means, and that means giving up freedom to do so. This is something, again, we see in our own world a lot. This idea that in order to be comfortable or feel safe, oftentimes we have to give up freedoms to do that. And it's a balancing act. And House doesn't give you any wiggle room. It's also kind of sinister that he set up a place for himself in order to survive the end of the world. And then also has plans to try to live forever. There's something just naturally sinister about extending or prolonging your own life indefinitely. It feels unnatural. And like, well, so many villains in sci-fi and fantasy who become necromancers and liches. He's in some ways kind of Fallout's version of that. So I totally agree. House is pretty terrible. He's up there on the list. I don't know if he's at the top of the list for me. And you're all absolutely allowed to have your own opinions about this. And I would love for you to politely comment about your perspectives on this. And you can disagree with me. That's totally fine. Let's just be polite about it. All right, let's move on to the next one. Lorenzo Cabot by Wasteland Oni. There's an episode I did about the Cabot family and everything going on with that. Wasteland Oni says, I couldn't imagine what sort of destruction man with that power could cause. Like, you get the option to release him, but with his backstory and all the people he's killed and the amount of time locked away, that guy is definitely insane by that point. Like, will a choice carry over to Fallout 5 if you release him? And if so, I absolutely see him being a minor villain in the next game if they decide to make that choice canon. So some background on Cabot. He discovered several hundred years ago a helmet that he puts on his head that supposedly connects him to some greater intelligence or aliens or something that reveals to him secrets of the universe. And it seems to drive him crazy, but it also prolongs his life, just like we talked about with House. And that becomes a very unnatural thing. He and his family live an extended life due to his blood helping his family live longer. They capture him, and in the quest line, you can set him free to Wasteland Oni's response here that that seems terrifying to have somebody like that running around in the wasteland doing God knows what. So yeah, seems pretty terrible. Although he does seem to lack some of the forethought, some of the intentions that make some of these other villains a little bit worse in my opinion. But maybe a psychopath running around with a helmet that allows him to communicate with, well, powerful other beings is actually more sinister and more detrimental to the future of the world. Let me know your thoughts. All right, let's move on to the next one. The Master. Sulior writes, extensive genetic research and testing on unwilling individuals resulting in the creation of supermutants. He would go out and kidnap people, mostly from caravans, and force them to undergo these experiments. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's the general idea. The experiments he did on himself were pretty horrifying as well. Yeah, another instance of the person themselves being transformed by their evil intentions in some sort of way. That's another theme that seems to occur. But yeah, this idea of experimenting on people and turning them into supermutants, kidnapping unwilling people and forcing them through that for your own means, to your own ends, sounds horrifying. It's absolutely something out of a horror movie. And the Master, if you remember pictures of him, if you haven't seen the Master from Fallout 1, go look up pictures. He's like a goo head on top of a computer, and it's very disturbing. So yeah, the Master's up there. I think he's a really good villain for the first game, although I'm not sure he goes as far as some of these other characters with the severity of what they are possible of causing across a large swath of people. He does some terrible things in his area of the world, but I guess because he wasn't as successful, it doesn't expand beyond that. So that's where he sits for me. Thanks, Solier. All right, Emily M. says, Maxon in Fallout 4 because of the way he turned on Paladin Dance. Yes, this is a very tragic thing. Years ago, I did my episode on Paladin Dance and the situation there. And he's, I mean, if anything you're going to say about Maxon, he's a man of principle. It's just the question of how good are those principles? He has this hatred of anything not human, and it's so encompassing of his character that he's not even able to see past it in order to look at Paladin Dance as a person. And of course, we find out in Fallout 4 that Paladin Dance is a synth. He didn't know that he was a synth, but then he comes to realize it. There's a whole storyline that goes along with that. And in all of our interactions with Dance, he is a noble, forthright individual. He seems to be doing right according to his own moral compass. He seems to be acting like a real person. Whether he was a synthetic person or not doesn't seem to really matter in that case. And yet, Maxon can't see past that, even though they have a history together. So I totally get why that would make him seem like such a terrible person, because it's not so much that he has a scope like Stanislaus Braun or somebody like that across the entire wasteland and is doing terrible things across a large section of the world, so much as he betrayed a friend. And betrayal is the lowest level of hell in Dante's Inferno. So I get that. That's terrible. It makes sense. He's also very, very specious, I guess. He's pro-human and against anything else. And that seems like it's problematic as well, because we all have ghoul friends, right? And some of us have synth friends, and those seem like people to us. All right, next up we get a creative answer. This is from Razor's Beer Garden, G-R-D-N. I think that's garden, right? The Mechanist. Not particularly evil, but he isn't really original. The whole thing feels like a bad trope from SNL. And I think that's the point of The Mechanist, is he's supposed to feel like a pulp villain from a comic book. That's the point. So if he does feel like a bad trope from SNL, then that's intentional. That's, you know, I totally get that. Also, I mean, yeah, he's not particularly evil. He sets a bunch of robots out in the wasteland in Fallout, or she sets a bunch of robots out in the wasteland in Fallout 4. In Fallout 3, there's the antagonizer versus the mechanist thing going on, where it's a different mechanist, but they're having this squabble. Not the worst thing the wasteland has ever seen. So it's a fun answer. I appreciate it. And you know me, I love the Mechanist. All right, let's move on to the next one. Mythic Reaper 98 says, Moira Brown. She sends you on all sorts of crazy quests so she can fill out a survival guide, sending me to a town filled with mines, telling me to get irradiated, sending me to a Mirelurk nest, making me cripple myself, making me deal with Rivet City's layout, in all caps. She is evil and possibly worse than Frank Horrigan. Wow. I think if you're going to call Moira Brown evil, it's simply due to ignorance. It's not due to intentionality. And I find that way more forgivable. This is a very funny answer to me, so I appreciate it. I think this is done in kind of a nod and a wink sort of way. And I love Moira Brown. She was one of my favorite characters from Fallout 3. And if you haven't played Fallout 3 and gone through her quest, or gone through her quest after blowing up Megaton, then that's also worth doing. Spoilers, she survives but becomes a ghoul. So check that out. Fun stuff. All right, next one on the list. Patu the Jackal says, Myron. This is an old poll. Myron is the creator of Modern Jet, leading to heavy addiction inside and outside of New Reno and all around Scumbag. Plus, he's miserable in a fight. Yeah, Myron's a bad one for sure. He's a teenager, so he's just kind of a kid still in Fallout 2 and is absolutely sinister for being such a young person. And you're right. He created Jet, and somebody who makes drugs in order to, well, further their own means, usually financially, doesn't seem like a great person. And Jet absolutely becomes a problem in the Wasteland, or at least in that part of the Wasteland. So yeah, I think you've got a good justification for why Myron is one of the worst villains in Fallout. Now, as bad as some of the others? Probably not, but maybe he never gets to that point. All right, here's another creative answer from Maverick, who says, the nuclear bomb. It ended the world and started all the wars. So, yeah, you're right. The first bomb that was dropped kind of set everything off, and the Wasteland wouldn't even be the way it was if it wasn't for that happening. But I will push back on this one and say, the bomb didn't drop itself. So whoever dropped that bomb is probably worse than the bomb itself. Now, we know from Tim Kaine that the original intended justification was that Vault-Tec was actually behind it all along. And although we haven't seen that fully play out yet in the games or the TV show, and I will remind you, it is heavily hinted at in the TV show, but we don't have fully confirming evidence. We just have evidence that they were considering the idea. So we still need full confirmation on exactly what happened there, but it was absolutely a tragic event and did destroy the world and put the world into a very terrible situation where people have to live for at least a few hundred years that we've seen so far in a wasteland of, well, mutants and radiation and all sorts of terrible things. So I get where you're coming from. All right, next on the list, Brennan, I think I said enough ands in there, writes, other people, you know, a Yaogwai's intent. You'll never be betrayed by a Yaogwai. A Yaogwai will never aim a fat man at you, after all. Hell is other people, Jean-Paul Sartre. Sartre, if I do the French thing terribly. I get that. Other people absolutely are terrible, and driving even today, I had to be behind somebody who was terrible, and I won't go into the details. But yes, other people, absolutely terrible. So I can't disagree with you there. It's a very broad justification, but let's go with it. I think a lot of times other people are terrible. So I agree with you. All right. And then our last answer, we have three people who have said, and you probably saw this one coming, Vault-Tec. Aaron A, Dusty Ray 85, and Rakroz. I hope I'm, or Kakroz. Kakroz. Why did I say Rakroz? Kakroz. Here's what they say. Aaron A says, they conducted all sorts of experiments on unsuspecting dwellers. Absolutely. Dusty Ray says, because even though it's not entirely clear that they dropped the bomb or not, I think everything they did with manipulation of companies and the government brought the world to that outcome. And even 200 years later, thanks to the show, we see them still doing the same. I think it's safe to say all other villains and evil factions are just production or products of Vault-Tec's decisions. And let's not forget all the experiments in the vaults that caused all the problems later on. Good point. And then Kakroz, I'm sorry for messing up your name, says, they are the reason for everything. And I can't argue with that. I think you all have great points about Vault-Tec, and they absolutely are evil and sinister. So I think the lesson here across all of these villains is abusing other people to your own means, plotting the end of the world, plotting government takeovers, being a fascist, any of these things are terrible. So maybe don't do them or be aware when other people in the world seem to be doing these same things and push back against it, because we don't want to live in a wasteland. Or at least I don't want to live in the wasteland. Maybe you want to live in a wasteland, but ultimately in my real life, I'm happy to be not living in a wasteland and being able to visit it in video games. So I guess that's the takeaway. That's the lesson. The more you know. Whoa. All right. That was terrible. So thank you to everybody for your comments on this. And let's take a quick break.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
So before we get to thanking all of our patrons and doing all that stuff, I'm considering expanding the show and doing it in a way where I can give more rewards to our patrons. And one of the things I'm thinking about doing is a bonus episode of some sort once a month. And I need to get your opinion about this. So there's three options. Should I do a episode based on patrons suggesting ideas and I pick one of the ideas and go with that? Or should I bring back the Choose Your Own Adventure from the really early episodes and do a continuation of that every month? Or would you prefer I play through some of the games and comment and do the role-playing kind of experience that I've done before and kind of intermittently done but haven't kept up with? And the idea here is to permanently add something once a month to the show in order to reward our patrons and to say thanks for being a part of this. So let me know. I have a poll going in the Fallout Lorecast channel on the Discord. There's a link in the description, and I would love your feedback on that in order to decide what to do with this. So thanks for that. But now we've got to welcome our newest patron. Welcome to the Patreon, Newfound King. So glad that you decided to join us. I hope you're enjoying what you're getting. And the Patreon is patreon.com/FalloutLorecast. If you're interested, if you want to see the t-shirts and stickers you can get ad-free episodes. You can join us for patron chats, all sorts of fun stuff. Also, have to shout out our Sentry Bots, Dusty Ray and Germinator. Thank you so much for your continued support as Sentry Bot level patrons. As usual, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read out your review on a future episode. We get this one. This one is great. This is from eFrog. They write, can't stop listening to this Fallout player named Jake-Slabcheese. I'm 62 years old and never played a video game on a console before. I cut my gaming teeth on classics like Marathon on a Mac back in the late 90s. Oh, totally cool. Then COVID hit. I got a PS5 and bought two games, Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. Fallout 4 was great, but really fell in love with the community on Fallout 76. Currently, I'm level 1180. I love the lore aspect of the games, but like many players, I don't read all the terminals or dialogues. Listening to Tom go over all the gritty details that I always wondered about is fascinating. I love his delivery, detail, and invitations to think deeper about each scenario. I hope he goes over Fastnacht, my favorite event. I have one question and or suggestion for an episode. What's the deal with the poor guy being chased by a chicken? Keep casting, Tom. Well, thank you so much. I'm trying to remember, poor guy being chased by, did you talk about the TV show with a chicken? I don't remember a chicken in Fastnacht, the event where you march around in Fallout 76. But that is interesting. That is a real world event that they basically took and used in Fallout 76. But I'll have to think about that. I'm not sure what you mean by poor guy being chased by a chicken, but thank you so much. I'm glad you're a part of the community, and that is a wonderful review. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. So glad that you are here, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and I'll see you next time. be safe out there. It's a dangerous world. And if Moira Brown gives you a quest, think twice about how you handle it. All right, see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.